بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. Okay, today this is our second session for Arabic lessons in Hadith level 3 from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic Institute. And today, inshallah, we're going to take our second hadith from the level 3 hadith curriculum. This hadith is dealing with purification of one's eating utensil or drinking utensil when a dog has licked in it. So we're going to start on page 7. But before we start, I just want to quickly go over the hadith from last week and remind us the hadith of last week, as the hadith of this week is a hadith reported from Abu Hurairah. يعني عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في البحر. يعني Abu Hurairah says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said concerning the bahr, the sea. في البحر هو الطهور ماؤه. يعني its water is pure. Its water is absolutely pure. الحل ميتته. And its dead is lawful. Meaning the animals that live in the sea, if they die by themselves, it's lawful to eat them. Okay, concerning the sea, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Huwa tahur ma'uhu, al-hillu maytatuhu." Yani its water. If you like, brother, you can pray there, or you can pray up here in the corner, if you like, whichever is better for you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yani concerning the sea, its water is pure. You can use it for purification, for ablution, and so on. And it's dead, that which dies in the sea, that is from the sea, is lawful. And this hadith, yani, is أخرجه الأربعة. الأربعة means the four books of Sunan, including Ahmed's book is the Musnad. The four books of Sunan: At-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. Not Nisa. Nisa is women. And Nasa'i. Those are the books of Sunan. Four. Al-Arba'a. Akhraju al-Arba'a. Wabnu Abi Shayba. And also the Imam of Hadith, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Shayba, whose book is called the Musannaf. And as we mentioned last week, it's a very important book. The overwhelming majority of the hadith in Sahih Muslim, he narrated them from his teacher, Ibn Abi Shayba. And the expression, it says, as it came in the book, وَاللَّفْذُ لَهُ, the wording, the exact wording of this hadith came from Ibn Abi Shayba, وَصَحَّحَهُ, and it was declared to be sahih, authentic, an authentic narration. It was declared by who? By Ibn Khuzaymata. Ibn Khuzaymah, and he has a book called the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah. What Tirmidhi also declared it to be Sahih. Okay, this is last week's hadith, the first hadith, and I'm going to remind everyone that we have to start writing the hadith, right? Sure. We have to start not just memorizing them to express them orally, but we have to start practicing writing. And in terms of the writing of this hadith, one of the things that I want to draw to your attention is this word ma'uhu. The hamza in ma'uhu is written on top of waw. Try to remember that. The hamza in ma'uhu is written on top of waw. You know that the hamza is sometimes written on top of aleph, sometimes on ya, sometimes on waw, sometimes written on the line with no seat. And this word, the correct way to write it, the hamza should be written on top of waw. Taib. That's a long discussion. No time for that. We have to go back to imla for that. Taib. Okay, today on page 7, hadith number 2, al-hadithu al-thani, al-hadithu al-thani, the second hadith, fi tathiri al-ina'i idha walagha fihi al-kalbu. with Dhamma, Al-Kalbu. Yani concerning Tathir. Tathir is Masdar from Tahara Yutahiru, Tathir. Concerning purification of the ina, yani the container, the receptacle, the eating utensil, person, something that the vessel that you put the food in, the container or the receptacle that you put your food in, or the utensil that you use for eating and drinking. Concerning the purification of the vessel or the utensil or the container, if a dog licks in it. This is the topic, and the hadith is an Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. Yani, on the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the book it has with Fatha, Tahuru. And we're going to read it with Dhamma, Tuhuru. And if you notice on the board, I vowed it with Dhamma. And we're going to discuss this briefly, we're not going to go into a lot of detail. But, yani, the scholars of hadith generally agree that this word may be read two ways. They are lugatan, yani tahuru or tuhuru, and we'll discuss briefly, yani, why we are saying tuhur. Yani, both of them are permissible, but al-Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah, in his explanation of this hadith, says that what is more correct and what is more well known is with dhamma, tuhur. And Ibn Malik, yani, the great scholar of Arabic language who wrote the most famous book of Arabic language, Al-Alfiyah, Alfiyah ibn Malik, he says that what is correct is Dhamma, yani Tuhur. In any case, yani, I'm suggesting that we read it with Dhamma, as Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah, says, and Ibn Malik says, and if you read it with Fatha, no harm, no harm, inshallah. If we have a chance, we'll discuss the difference between the meanings of Fatha and Dhamma here, but yani, no problem. Okay, so the hadith an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama tuhuru ina'i with kasra, yani mudawfan ilayhi. Ahadikum is also mudawfan ilayhi with kasra. Ahadikum, yani tuhuru ina'i ahadikum, yani the purification, the process of purification of the, yani, utensil or the vessel that you eat or drink from, of any one of you, the utensil of any one of you, إِذَا وَلَغَ فِيهِ الْكَلْبِ, yani if a dog licks in it, إِذَا وَلَغَ, yani وَلَغَ means to him, for him to stick his tongue into the container and move it around and yani drink or eat, take something from what's in the container with the tip of his tongue. This is called وَلَغَ. إِذَا وَلَغَ فِيهِ الْكَلْبُ, if a dog licks in the container, the process of purification, tuhur, its process is what? أن يغسيله سبع مرات أولاهن بالتراب. يعني that you wash it, a يغسيله. And this فعل مضارع غسل يغسل. يعني here it's with فتح, a يغسيلا. يعني it has فتح because it's منسوب, because of what? Because of N, because of N المصدرية. أي يغسله سبع مرات, 7 times. And if you remember the numbers, and the numbers from 3 to 10, the adad and the ma'adud, the relationship is what? Okay, the yani the mudaf, the ma'adud, the thing that's counting is going to be plural, and it's going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. So we say سبع مراتن, 7 times. Ula hunna, yani ula is the feminine form of awwal, awwal, yani first. Ula hunna, the first of those 7 washings, the first of them, bit turabi. And in the book, yani the dhamma and shadd is on top of the lam, it should be on top of the ta that follows it. Yani the dhamma and shadd is on top of lam in the last word, bit turab. It should be on top of the ta of turab. Should be on top of the ta, because ta is a sun letter. So that means you don't pronounce the lam, right? You pronounce the sun letter doubled. So that means the shadda should be on the ta of turab, not on the lam. Yani, bit turab. Yani here. Here. They wrote the Shedda and the Lamb on this last word on top of the Lamb. The Shedda and the Dhamma, they wrote it on top of this Lamb. It should be on top of the first letter of the word Turab, on top of the Ta. Okay? So, you have to wash it seven times. Ulahunna, the first of those seven washings should be by using Turab. Yani the soil from the surface of the earth. The surface soil of the earth. Turab. Okay, then as far as who narrated the hadith, أخرجه مسلمٌ. Yani it was collected by Imam Muslim. وفي لفظ له, and in a wording that is for Imam Muslim, in a wording that's attributed to Imam Muslim, it has فل يرقه. فل يرقه. Yani washing it seven times, and then فل يرقه. And then pour it out. Pour out whatever is in the container also. Yani fal yuriqu, you have to pour it out also. Yani pour out what's in the container and wash it seven times, the first time with surface soil. Walit Tirmidhi, and for Tirmidhi, yani in the narration of Tirmidhi, it has the wording ukhrahunna aw ulahunna. Yani ukhrahunna means another or one of them, one of those washings should be yani with turab. Ukhrahunna should be with turab. One of them, of the washings, or ulahunna, or the first of them. Yani, the meaning here is that At-Tirmidhi in his narration, he has you have to wash it seven times. One of them bit turab, or the first of them bit turab, meaning the narrator of the hadith was unsure. Yani, he was what? Yashukku. He wasn't sure. Was it one of them, the way he heard the hadith, or the first of them? Ukhrahunna, he's not sure. I don't know if I heard it ukhrahunna or ulahunna. He's in doubt. And what is correct is ulahunna, as is narrated in Sahih Muslim. Yani the narration in At-Tirmidhi, the narrator that Tirmidhi heard it from, somebody in that chain, was unsure how the hadith came. Was it one of those with surface soil, or the first of them? The narrator was unsure. But in Sahih Muslim, the way he heard the hadith, the narrators were sure that it's the first of them. So that is what is correct.
But I was taught out of seven, any one of the verse.
That's the meaning of what is narrated in Tirmidhi. The narrator is saying, either I was told the narration was any one of them, ukhrahunna, or I'm not sure, maybe I was told ulahunna, the first of them. The narrator is not sure. Which one did he hear? He didn't remember well. Was it any one of them, or was it the first of them? And we are saying that what's correct, that he wasn't sure what is correct, is the first of them, as is narrated in Sahih Muslim. Yani the narrator in Sahih Muslim, he had no doubt. The narrator is there, they had no doubt it's the first of them. One of the narrators in the chain of At-Tirmidhi, he's in doubt. So he narrated it like this. Like people today, if they're in doubt, they tell you whatever they want to tell you. But they were honest. He said, I'm not sure. Either it was this or this. He was honest. But we know which one it was. Ulahunna.
So Bitura.
In the first one. Should be with surface soil. Shek. Shek. Sheen, kaf, kaf. I said, yashukku. That's the verb. Shek is doubt. Shekka, yashukku is the verb to doubt. Yani they say, ashek min al-rawi. Yani this or that, they said a shek, the doubt, is min ar-rawi, from the narrator. Yani somebody in the chain, they were in doubt. Okay, let's look at it again. An Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, tuhuru ina'i ahadikum idha walagha fihi al-kalbu ay yaghsilahu sab'a مرات أولاهن بالتراب أخرجه مسلم وفي لفظ له, and in a wording that's attributed to Imam Muslim, فليرقه, then pour it out, dump it out, empty it. وللترمذي, and in the narration of Tirmidhi, it has أخرهن أو أولاهن, yani one of them, any one of those washings, or the first of them. Okay, any question? Yani the main thing, in case anybody came late, notice that we have vowelled the first word, tuhur, with dhamma. We vowelled it with dhamma. In the book it has fatta. And in the first hadith we had the same word, at-tahur, with fatta. And in this hadith we have at-tuhur again, this time though, yani, with fatta or dhamma. And we're saying that, yani, if we have a chance we'll discuss what al-Imam an-Nawawi said concerning what is more well known and more correct, is that it is with dhamma. Okay, let's look at the ma'ani al-kalimat, the meanings of the words. Yani the words in this hadith that may need clarification, the first word is al-ina'u, al-ina'u, right? This came from this word, second word in the hadith, tuhuru, ina'i ahadikum, ina'. Al-ina', the word al-ina', it means al-wi'a'u, al-wi'a'. Al-wi'a' is a vessel, a container, a receptacle, yani a utensil that is used to eat from or to drink from. Al-ina means al-wi'a'u. Al-wi'a' alladhi yuda'u fihi at-ta'amu aw ash-sharabu. Yani it means the container, alladhi, which, yuda'u fihi, something is put in it. What is put in it? At-ta'am, food, or ash-sharab, drink. Yani the container, alladhi yuda'u, yani from wada'a, to put. Yani yuda'u fihi, something is put in it. What is it? At-ta'am aw ash-sharab. Jam, yani jim here, it means jam. The plural of ina is aniya, aniyatun. Its plural is aniyatun. وَجَمْعُ جَمْعَ الْجَمْعِ, and the plural of its plural, the plural of its plural, right? الْجَمْعَ الْمُتَنَاهِ, or مُنْتَهَى الْجُمُوعِ. The plural of its plural is awanin, awanin. And if you look on the top of the next page, in the first box they have al-awani. Yani awanin, it is an ism manqus. So if it doesn't have alif lam and it's not an idafa, it loses the ya on the end. But when it has alif lam, the ya comes back, and that's why we have al-awani. But without alif lam or idafa, it became awanin, awanin. Okay, this is a discussion that is above our level for now, so we're not going to discuss that in any detail. But we suffice to say, the word al-ina, its plural is aniyatun, and the plural of its plural is awanin or al-awani. What is al-ina? It is al-wi'a, the container, alladhi yuda'u fi at-ta'am aw ash-sharab, yani the container in which food or drink is placed. This is our first word. Second word, on top of page 8, or second expression, walagha al-kalbu fil-ina, yani the expression walagha al-kalbu fil-ina, yani the dog has licked in the container, in the utensil. This means walagha fihi, means adkhala fihi lisanahu, yani the dog adkhala, yani dakhala means to enter, adkhala means to cause something else to enter. So the dog caused his tongue to enter into the container. Adkhala fihi lisanahu, he put his tongue into the container. فَحَرَّكَهُ, and then he moved it around. Yani he moved his tongue around in the container. He didn't just stick it in there, he moved it around. حَرَّكَهُ وَشَرِبَ مِمَّا فِيهِ بِأَطْرَافِ لِسَانِهِ, and he drank from what? مِمَّا فِيهِ, from what is in that container, using the tip, the edge of his tongue. بِأَطْرَافِ, the edge or the tip of lisanihi, his tongue. This is the meaning of walaga al-kalb fil-inai. It means he put his tongue into the container and then he moved it around and he drank from what is in it with the edge of his tongue or the tip of his tongue. As far as this verb walaga, yani its mudari is yalagu. Yani wal mudari yalagu. Mithla or mithlu wahaba yahabu. Yani it's the same type of verb like wahaba, which means to give a gift, right? Wahaba yahabu. From the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huh? From the names of Allah is what? Al wahhab. The one who gives gifts freely. So this verb Yani walagha yalagu is like the verb wahaba yahabu, or like the verb wada'a. Wada'a means what? To put, or to place something, to put it down. Wada'a yada'u. And the masdar of our verb under discussion, walagha yalagu, is wulugun. Wulugun means what? Masdar, licking. The act of licking. And after this, there's three more words which should be in a separate box. They came in this box, but they belong in a separate box as another word. Another word from the words in this hadith. They have al-awwalu with shadda on the waw. Al-awwalu. There's no shadda written there, but it should be with shadda. Al-awwalu mu'annithuhu al-ula. Yani the word al-awwal means what? The first. Mu'annithuhu, its feminine form is al-ula. So in our hadith, the word came ulahunna. So ula is the feminine form of awwal. Huh? We had before in the last week al-hadith al-awwal, the first hadith. So the feminine of al-awwal is al-ula. The last word they gave us is araka al-ma'a. Araka al-ma'a. Yani the meaning of araka al-ma'a, it means sabbahu. Sabbahu. Sabba means to pour. Like you pour somebody a drink of water. You take a container and you pour the water. Sabba with sod. Sabba yasubbu. To pour. Yani to empty something, or it may mean also to fill. Yani you're emptying the container and you're filling the cup of the person that you're pouring for, right? So it has both meanings. Sabba. Yani araka, it means araka al-ma'a. It means sabbahu, yani he poured the water. Wal mudari'u, the present tense form is yuriqu. Yani araka is past tense, yuriqu is present tense. It means to pour out or to empty something. And the masdar, the infinitive form, yani the noun that has the meaning of the verb, is iraqatun. Iraqatun meaning emptying or pouring. Okay, any of these words we have a question about? Yani walagha, or araka, or al-ina, or al-ula. These are the words that they wanted to clarify in this hadith. So those meanings should be clear to us. After this, we have a section called idahatun nahwiyatun. Idahatun nahwiyatun. Meaning, anybody know? إضاحة يعني means يعني أوضح يوضح إضاحة to clarify, clarification. يعني نحوية is from نحو, يعني grammar. Grammatical clarifications. Okay, so some points of grammar that came in this hadith that needs clarification. The first of them, and there are two, the first of them is the expression فَلْيُرِقْهُ. فَلْيُرِقْهُ came from where in this hadith? Where did it come from? Anybody remember? From Muslim. It said, وَلَفْظٍ لَهُ, and in an expression for Imam Muslim, it had فَلْيُرِقْهُ, then pour it out. هَذِهِ اللَّام, the lamb in the expression فَلْيُرِقْهُ, يعني, here it came here, right? فَلْيُرِقْهُ, this lamb with sukoon, this is fa, then, and this is lamb with sukoon, and this is the verb itself. Yuriqhu. Yuriqhu, we're going to see that it is originally from araka yuriqhu. It is originally yuriqhu. Yani yuriqhu. This, wow, this ya here, extending the kasra. We see that this ya is missing here, right? And the reason why the ya is missing from the original verb araka yuriqhu, the reason why the ya is missing is because this verb is majzoom by this lam. And that's what we're going to talk about in this, yani, grammatical clarification here. Yani, what happened in this expression? Fal yuriqhu. Yani, hadihi al-lam, the lam in this expression after the fa, this lam is lam al-amri. Lam al-amri. The lam that means command, has the meaning of command. That means you are commanded to empty the container. This lam here means it is a command. وهي من جوازم المضارع, And it is from those things that make the mudari present tense verb, makes it majzum. Makes it majzum. Remember, verbs are either marfu'un, mansubun, or majzum. And this is one of the things that makes the verb majzum, the mudari verb. What makes it majzum? Lam al-amr. The lam that comes at the beginning of the mudari verb, making it majzum, and its meaning is that it is a command. And then they give us examples. Nahu, li yajlis kullu talibin fi makanihi. Li yajlis, yani the verb jalasa yajlisu. If you put this lam al-amr in the beginning of it, li yajlis, it means it is a command for one to sit. Who must sit? Kullu talibin. Every student must sit fi makanihi, in his place. And if the teacher says, لِيَجْلِسْ كُلُّ طَالِبٍ فِي مَكَانِهِ, he is saying, اجلسوا, all of you must sit. But instead of using the command form verb, he's using the mudari form with lam al-amr, which has the same meaning, command. لِيَجْلِسْ, you must, he must sit. Who? Every student must sit in his place. That's an example of lam al-amr. Another example of lam al-amr, لِيَذْهَبْ الطُّلَّابُ الْآنَ إِلَى الْمَكْتَبَةِ. Again, from the verb ذَهَبَ يَذْهَبُ, يعني we see that the verb يَذْهَبُ doesn't have dhamma, it has sukoon. It became majzoom because of the lam in front of it. لِي يَذْهَبْ, that's lam al-amr, that means he must go. Who must go? الطُلَّابُ, the students. الْآنَ, right now. إِلَى الْمَكْتَبَةِ, to the library. Okay, this is another example of lam al-amra, liyadhhab at-tullab. All of the students must go right now to the library. Then they said, concerning this lam al-amra, it has some rules. Lam al-amri is maksuratun. Yani lam al-amra, it is usually with kasra, liyadhhab. Huh? It is usually with kasra, liyajlis. However, to sakkinu, it takes sukoon ba'da al-wawi wal-fa'i wa-thumma. So what is the rule for lam al-amra? Normally, its original form is that it takes kasra. But if it comes after waw or fa or thumma, instead of its kasra, it takes sukoon. And that's why we have fal yuriq, yani lam al-amra, the kasra is not there. The lam here has sukoon. Why? Because it's following fa. Likewise, if it follows waw, or if it follows thumma, instead of that kasra, the kasra is going to be gone, it's going to be replaced by sukoon. So lam al-amra, yani maksuratun, is normally taking kasra, wa tusakkinu, but it takes sukoon after the particle waw, or fa, or thumma. And then they give examples of this lam al-amra taking kasra and taking sukoon. The first example they gave us, liyajlis كل طالب في مكانه وليفتح كتابه. يعني we see here lam al-amr came with kasra in the first example, and in the end of the sentence it came with sukoon. ليجلس, he must sit. هو كل طالب, every student, في مكانه, and he must open his book. Here the lam al-amr وليفتح, it has sukoon. Why does it have sukoon? Don't say waliyafta. Don't say waliyafta, because it came after waw. So after waw, it doesn't take its kasra, it takes sukoon. Waliyaftah. And notice that yafta is taking sukoon at the end because it's majzoom by lam al-amra. And likewise, liyajlis is taking sukoon at the end of the verb instead of its dhamma because it's majzoom. Yani, its case changed from being marfu'un to majzoomun because of lam al-amra. The second example he gave us, لِنَجْلِسْ وَلْيَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ. نَقْرَأَ, جزاكَ الله خير. لِنَجْلِسْ, يعني we must sit, وَلْنَقْرَأَ, and we must read الْقُرْآنَ, the Qur'an. Okay, so here we see that the lam al-amra in the beginning has kasra because there's no waw, fa, or thumma in front of it, so it takes its normal kasra. And the verb jalasa yajlisu najlisu became najlis with sukoon because it's majzoom by lam al-amra. Li najlis. Wal naqra يعني originally this verb has sukoon at the end لنقرأ, but if we join it to the alif lam of al-Quran we say لنقرأ القرآن with كسرة. But originally it has sukoon because it's majzoom by lam al-amra, but because the lam in يعني نقرأ, the lam in نقرأ is preceded by واو, so we say وَلْنَقْرَأِ الْقُرْآنَ وَلْنَقْرَأَ. And so this is another example of lam al-amra, when it's followed by واو it takes sukoon instead of kasra. The final example that they give us here is انتهى الدرس فمن أراد أن يخرج فليخرج. Meaning, what is the meaning انتهى الدرس? The lesson has ended. فمن أراد أن يخرج, so whoever wants to go out فليخرج, then he must go out, then he can leave. فليخرج. And here we see فليخرج, يعني the lam الأمر is taking سكون because it's following فا. When it follows فا, واو or ثم, it takes سكون instead of كسرة. Okay, the last point concerning this expression فليرق. The word فليرق أصله, it is originally فليريق. فليريق. Okay, because the verb is يريق. So here we have فا and then we have لام الأمر فل, and then we have the verb يريق. But because لام الأمر makes the verb مجزوم, so we have سكون and we have سكون back to back on two letters. And in Arabic, they don't allow two sukoons back to back, right? So we call this التقاء الساكنين. When التقاء, I mean with قاف, يعني لقيا, to meet, التقاء الساكنين. When two ساكن letters come back to back, they meet each other, then we have to get rid of one of them, right? So in this case, usually the weak letter, alif, waw, or ya, will just be deleted. So this ya is deleted, and then it became fel yu riq, without the ya as we see it in the hadith, fel yu riqu. Okay, this is the last point, and it is the point of what? The point that فَلْيُرِقُ أَصْلُهُ فَلْيُرِقُ, with two sukoons, the ya has sukoon and the qaf has sukoon. حُذِفَتْ يَاؤُهَا, so it's ya, the ya before the qaf is deleted, omitted, taken away, due to لِإِلْتِقَاءِ السَّاكِنَيْنِ, due to the meeting of two sakin letters, two letters with sukoon. If you never heard this rule before, then you might have some questions about it. No problem, inshallah. In the end, if somebody wants to and see it a little bit more clearly, we can look at it and discuss it further. Okay, after this, the next point under the grammatical clarifications is أُولَاهُنَّ. أُولَاهُنَّ أي أُولَاهَا, يعني the meaning of أُولَاهُنَّ, يعني the pronoun هن, which is the feminine plural, right? Feminine third person plural. أولاهن, يعني the meaning of it is أولاها. يعني because we're talking about non-human, right? غير عاقل. And غير عاقل, يعني we normally, غير عاقل plurals, we refer to them by the feminine singular mostly. So we would use the pronoun for the feminine singular ها. But it is permissible to use the plural form also. So in this hadith, the plural form came, although what is more common is to use the feminine singular to refer to any plural that is, yani, for intelligent being. Okay, غير عاقل, جمع غير عاقل. Okay, so the point they're saying here is أولاهن, the meaning of is أولاها. And here it means what? It means the first of them, of the seven washings. They said يَجُوزُ فِيهِ الْوَجْهَان, يعني what is the meaning of يَجُوزُ فِيهِ الْوَجْهَان? يعني الْوَجْهَان means both aspects or both perspectives or both views. يعني وَجْ means face, right? يعني mean it has two aspects or two ways you can look at it. You can use it, يعني both of them are permissible to say أُولَاهُنَّ or أُولَاهَا. Both of them are يَجُوز, are permissible. So you say, for example, تقولوا اشتريت اليوم ثلاث مجلات إسلامية وقرأتها, or you can say قرأتهن. يعني اشتريت اليوم, what means اشتريتُ اليوم. I bought today ثلاثة مجلات, three magazines, إسلاميةٍ, Islamic, three Islamic magazines. وقرأتها, and I read them. It's plural, but we're using the feminine singular because it's غير عاقل. Magazines are not human, right? So we say وقرأتها, or you may say وقرأتهن. Both of them are correct. That's what they're saying, that يجوز في الوجهان. And in this situation, both views are permissible, to use the feminine singular or the feminine third person plural. Both of them are permissible. And by the way, in this sentence, اشتريت اليوم ثلاثة مجلات, and this word should be with شد on the lamb. مجلات, the lamb should have شد, مجلات. And the singular of it is مجلة with تاء مربوطة, means a magazine. مجلات, magazines. Shadda on top of the lamb. Majallat. Yani the third letter, meem, jeem, lamb. The lamb should have shadda. Majallatin. Islamiyatin. Okay? So they said, this is, both ways are permissible, to say qara'tuha or qara'tuhunna. Hadihi, the next example they gave us, hadihi al-haqa'ibu ishtaraytuha, or you can say اشتريتهن بعشرين ريالا. يعني هذه الحقائب means what? These, يعني حقيبة, bag, a briefcase or a pocketbook or something. هذه الحقائب, these bags, اشتريتها, I purchased them, or اشتريتهن, I purchased them, same meaning, بعشرين ريالا, with or for 20 reals. Okay, so these are the 2 points يعني that they want to clarify in this hadith in terms of linguistic or grammatical points. فَلْيُرِقْهُ, يعني that the lamb al-amr is here. And the second thing is أُولَاهُنَّ or أُولَاهَا, يعني that the pronoun for third person singular, feminine singular or feminine plural, can be used in this situation. After this, the next point is the مَعْنَى الْحَدِيثِ. مَعْنَى الْحَدِيثِ meaning the meaning of the hadith. Yani the meaning of this hadith, amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi ghasli al-ina'i alladhi walagha fihi al-kalbu sab'a marratin ulaha ulahunna bit-turabi wa bi-iraqati al-ma'i الذي في ذلك الإناء. يعني أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah has commanded us, has ordered us, بغسلي, with فتح, غسلي. يعني غسل means taking a bath. غسل means washing something. Okay, غسلي, he commanded us with غسلي, washing الإناء, the container, الذي, which, وَلَغَ فِيهَ الْكَلْبُ, the dog has licked in it. How do we wash it? سَبْعَ مَرَّاتٍ, 7 times. أُولَاهَا, the first of them, بِالتُرَابِ, with surface soil. And he also commanded us with what? بِإِرَاقَتِ, by pour, to pour out الماء, the water or liquid or whatever, الَّذِي فِي ذَلِكَ الْإِنَى, whatever is in that container. بالإراقه. نعم, إراقه is from the verb, from the, in the hadith, فليرقه, يعني it's the masdar from أراقة, يريق, إراقة. طيب, after this, on the next page, the last point of discussion of this hadith before the questions is ما يستفاد من هذا الحديث. ما يستفاد من هذا الحديث. What are the benefits that we may derive from this hadith? And there are 3 mentioned here. The first, فم الكلب ولعابه نجس. What does this mean? فم الكلب, the mouth of the dog, ولعابه, and its saliva, and its saliva, لعابه, يعني the mouth of the dog and its saliva is najisun. Yani it's impure. It's an impurity. Not just dirty. Because the person might get their clothes dirty, right? Get a stain on it. That's not najis. And we mean it's an impurity. Yani, if you have impurity on your garment or on your body or something, then you can't pray with that, right? But if you have some dirt, maybe you fell down in the street and got your clothes dirty, you can pray. It's no problem. Okay? So it's najis, impurity. Wayu najisu, not only is the mouth and the saliva of the dog impure itself, wayu najisu al-wi'a'a alladhi yalagu fihi. And it makes impure something else, huh? In this case, the container which it has licked in. So his mouth and his saliva is impure, and it makes the container that it comes in contact with also impure. Yani, yunajjisu, from najjasa, yunajjisu, to make something else impure. This is the first ruling. The second ruling, yajibu ghaslu. Again, ghaslu with fatta. Yajibu ghaslu al-ina'i الذي ولغ فيه الكلب سبع مرات أولاها وأولاهن بالترابي. يعني it is obligatory غسل, the washing of the container, the إناء or the وعاء الذي ولغ فيه الكلب, in which the dog has licked. It's obligatory to wash it 7 times, the first of them with تراب, surface soil. The third point, يجب إراقة. إراقة, from أراقة يريق, means what? To pour out, to empty. يجب إراقة ما في الإناء. ما here means ما الموصولة الذي. يجب إراقة, it's obligatory to empty out whatever is in the إناء, the container. إذا ولغ فيه الكلب, if a dog licks in it. Okay, the mouth and the saliva of the dog are impure and make other things impure. It's obligatory to wash the container that the dog has lived in, and it's obligatory to wash it 7 times, and also to use surface soil on the first of them. And it's also obligatory to empty out whatever is in the container that the dog has licked in. Okay, there are 2 points in point number 2. It's obligatory to wash the container, and also we want to say it's obligatory to use surface soil in the first of those washings. Tayyib, after this, questions. The questions. Tayyib, we have 10 minutes remaining. We're going to take 15 minutes for the questions. Tayyib, as'ilatun, questions. First question, kayfa nutahhiru ina'an walagha fihi al-kalbu. What is the meaning of the question? Now, how do we purify? Nutahiru, from tahara, yutahiru, to purify something. How do we purify the utensil, the container, the vessel which the dog has licked in? Now, Abu Bakr. An yagsilahu saba marratin ulahunna ulaha biturab. Excellent. Now, how do we purify it? We wash it 7 times, the first of them with surface soil, turab. Second question, اذكر الأحكام المستفادة من هذا الحديث. Meaning?
What about
okay, go back. Go ahead.
What about
it's also included in Naam. Yani, even though there's some difference of opinion about this point, we don't want to go into that at this point. Yani, there are some very well-known scholars who have a different idea about this wording in Sahih Muslim, this particular word for yuriqu. Some scholars like Ibn Abdul Barr, the great scholar of hadith from the Maliki Madhab, and others besides him, said that this wording is shadh, that it's not really a correct, authentic narration. In any case, yani, there's difference of opinion about it. Some scholars have accepted it. Imam Muslim narrated it, so we're going to accept it. But there are some scholars who have a different opinion about this, whether or not the emptying is really commanded. Did it come in the hadith authentically narrated? Okay, because notice we said, yani, wa fi lafdhin lahu. Yani, in the original wording of Imam Muslim, it didn't have that. But there are some narrations that came through certain chains that Imam Muslim narrated that have the wording fal yuriqu. Some of the scholars, like Ibn Abdul Barr, said that it's not authentic. Allahu alam. And this is mentioned in Fathul Bari, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, his explanation,
concerning this topic mentions that Ibn Abdul Barr and Ibn Mundir and other scholars said it's not authentic. But in any case, yani we're going to go with it. So we should say that yani this washing process, yani what is required is that we have to empty out whatever's in that container, and we have to wash it seven times, the first one being with surface soil. Okay. No.
I mean, it's not to cut you off, but in order to wash it, can you wash it with water in it?
Yani, whatever is in it, whatever is in it should be emptied. Exactly. But the point is it a command from the Prophet to empty the substance or to wash the area that he licked and preserve whatever is in it? Yani, if he licked it, he didn't lick the bottom of the container. Right. He licked the surface of it, wherever he got to, whatever he was licking. So, a person could wash the area that he licked. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, of course, you might find it disgusting, but I walked out of this masjid one day and saw a guy in the car right in front of the masjid kissing a dog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, anyway, we don't want to get sidetracked. Time is very, very short. Time is very short. We have six questions here. Let's finish the questions and then we'll see where we go from there. اذكر الأحكام المستفادة من هذا الحديث. Mention the rulings that are benefited from this hadith. Okay, the first of them is what? Naam, the mouth of the dog and its saliva is impure. Naam, and it also makes impure the container that it licked in. Second ruling.
Yajibu.
Naam, that it's obligatory to wash the container which the dog has licked in seven times, the first of them being with surface soil. And the last ruling that they gave us, Musa?
Yajibu iraqatu ma fi al-ina'i idha walagha fihi al-kalbu.
Naam, that it's obligatory to empty out whatever is in the container if a dog has licked in it. Tayyib. Third, question number three, اذكر معاني الكلمات الآتية. يعني, what is the meaning of the question? Mention the meanings of the following words. The first one, الإناء. What is the meaning of الإناء?
الوعاء.
Naam, it is the container, the vessel, the utensil in which food or drink is placed in it. Okay, second word, walagha. Walagha. Naam. Adkhala fihi lisanahu. Faharrakahu. Faharrakahu. Washariba. Mimma fihi. Washariba. Mimma fihi. Meaning that the dog, yani walagha, means that he licked, meaning that he put his tongue into the container, moved it around, and drank from what is in it, bi'atrafi lisanihi, with the edge of his tongue. The third word, araqa. Araqa yuriqu. What is the meaning? Sabbahu. Sabbahu. To pour out or to empty something. The fourth question, hati mudari al-af'al al-atiya. Yani, meaning of the question? Give the mudari. Yani, the present tense form of the following verbs. Walaga, yalagu, yalagu. Araqa, yuriqu. Ghasala, yaghsilu. Question number five. Hati, jama' al-kalimat al-atiya. Give the plural of the following words. Ina, aniyatun. And the plural of its plural? Awanin, or al-awani. Second word, kalbun.
Kilabun.
Third word, marratun. Marratun. Last question, hati mithalan lilam al amri. Give an example for lam al amr. An example for lam al amr. Naam. Wali. After wow, you get li.
Wal.
Wal nashrab. Ashay al ana. Right now? He wants us to drink tea now. Does anybody have tea here? He's commanding us to drink tea and we have no tea. There's no tea on. Fahib, somebody else give us an example. Lam al-Amr. Naam.
Man yuridu an yarhamahullahu
من يريد أن يرحمه الله نعم يوم القيامة
ليؤمن بالله
فليؤمن
نعم
then he must believe in Allah and obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Time, brothers, hold on. Li yajlis? Li yajlis at tulab huna. Naam. Naam. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكن خيرا أو ليصمت نعم but meaning whoever believes in Allah on the last day فليكن خيرا أو ليصمت then he must speak that which is good or remain silent okay just quickly because time is at the end now I just want to mention that it has been mentioned in Fath al-Bari and Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions in his explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari that this expression فَلْيُرِقْهُ لَمْ يَصِحْ نَقْلُهَا عَنَ الْحُفَّاذِ and he mentions some of the sayings of the scholars who said that this expression is not authentically narrated from the Huffaz يعني those يعني proficient scholars who are strong in memory وَقَالَ ibn عَبْدُ الْبَرْ And Ibn Abdul Barr that we mentioned earlier, the Maliki scholar, he's a scholar of Hadith, he said, لَمْ يَنْقُلْهَا أَحَدْ مِنْ الْحُفَّاذِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْعَمَاشِ يعني عَمَاشِ was the person who this Hadith came through. Huh? And he said that, Ibn Abdul Barr said, that not one of the Huffaz, the good narrators of Hadith, from the students, the Ashab al-A'mash, from his students, not one of them narrated this wording. وَقَالَ Ibn Mundah, لا تعرف عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بوجه من الوجوه that this expression is not known to come from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in any way at all in any case this is their opinion and other scholars don't agree with them so there's some difference of opinion about this wording but in any case يعني even if it didn't come as wording from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then even if it didn't and we say that يعني probably did والله أعلم يعني even if it didn't then it certainly is more يعني practical to empty the container before washing it. Also, one other point that I want to make here that I mentioned in the beginning in the explanation of Mishkat al-Masabi, يعني it's mentioned that the riwayah of Imam Muslim in this hadith is tuhuru inai ahadikum, يعني with dhamma tuhur as opposed to with fatah as we have it in our book. Qala al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Al-Imam Nawawi said. الأشهر فيه ضم الطاء يعني what is more well known in this hadith is ضم الطاء that the طاء should have ضم ويقال بفتحها لغتان نقله السيد and then he said but it has been said that it also can take فتح and these are لغتان يعني two ways in Arabic language that this word can be pronounced or read وقال ابن المالك and ابن المالك he is يعني the famous scholar from Andalus يعني from Spain يعني his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Malik he was born in the year 600 after the Hijra he is one of the most famous and most important scholars of Arabic language in history يعني ابن مالك and he has a lot of books from amongst the most famous of his books is the Alfiya Alfiya ibn Malik and it is probably the most important book of Arabic language Alfiya it's called Alfiya from the word what Alf, which means 1,000 lines of poetry explaining the entire Arabic language. Alfiya ibn Malik. Ibn Malik says, Bidam at ta, yani that this word should have dhamma on the ta, bima'ana at tatahur aw at tahara. Ibn Malik said that the meaning is dhamma because the meaning is tatahur, purifying, or tahara, purification. Yani in other words, as we were explaining before we started the class officially, yani that the meaning of this word in terms of yani the general meaning of this word, tahur with fatta means the element that's used for cleaning. As we had in our first hadith, yani tahur. It is tahur, yani the water of the sea is tahur, meaning it is tahir, pure,
pure in itself, and mutahir, a purifying element, with fatta. With dhamma is the process of purification, and this is, in a clearer example, in the word wudu. Wudu means the process of performing ablution. And wadu is the water that's used for ablution. Yani with fatta, it's the element that's used for cleaning. With dhamma, it's the process. So here again, with fatta, it is the element that's used for purification, and with dhamma is the process, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the process of purifying the container of any one of you. If a dog has licked in it, is that he has to wash it 7 times, the first of them, yani, with turab. Wallahu a'lam. This is what we wanted to say for today. And the both of them are masdar. Yani, it's a tahor. Yani, I mean, tahor is a masdar because it's a noun, right, that has the meaning of, yani, the action of purification. But the point here is what we want to distinguish is between the element that's used for purifying and the process of purification. Okay, so the difference between wudu and wadu is wudu is the process of performing ablution. And wadu is the water that you use to perform ablution. You call it wadu. And the same thing with sahur and suhur. Yani suhur is the process of taking some food before dawn if you are going to fast, right? That's the process of taking something to eat. It's called suhur. Sahur is the actual food that you take. Okay, so we're going to stop here. And I wanted to read something from the introduction for Mustalah Hadith. Yani from the introduction that we started last week. But for the sake of time, we will skip that, and we'll just quickly look at the hadith for next week, so that if anybody wants to start memorizing in advance, that's what we recommend. Yani on page 10, al-hadith al-thalithu fi ma uhilla min al-maytati wa-dami. Yani concerning that which has been made lawful from the thing that dies by itself and from blood. And this is the third hadith, an ibni Umara radiyallahu عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani on the authority of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أحلت لنا ميتتان ودمان. Yani two dead things and two bloods have been made lawful for us. Dead things, ميتة means that which dies by itself, it has not been slaughtered. Yani in the Sharia, if you say meta, it means something that has died by itself. So two things that die by themselves have been made lawful for us, and two things that are considered blood. And we know blood is haram, right? For eating. فَأَمَّا الْمَيْتَتَانِ As far as the two things that died by themselves that are lawful for us, فَالْجَرَادُ وَالْحُوتُ Yani al-jarad is locust, and al-hut is fish. وَأَمَّا الدَّمَانِ As far as the two bloods that are lawful for us, فَالْتِحَالُ وَالْكَبِدُ التِحَال is the spleen, and الْكَبِد is the liver. أَخْرَجَهُ أَحْمَدُ وَابْنُ مَاجَى Yani it has been collected by Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah. This is the hadith that we're going to take next week. Huh? التِحَال is the spleen. And al-kabid is the liver, and these are, yani, they're parts of the body.
Yeah.
Yani, if you don't know what is the spleen or the liver, no problem. Look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.